Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Monday morning, and I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 26, 2012, episode 366, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning, Glenn. How was your weekend?
Packing, packing, packing. You know, it didn't seem like too long ago that we announced we were going to be moving to Ocala, and that's happening the end of this week. And the house is starting to look empty, and it's starting to sound hollow in the house, and, you know, packing. We're doing good, though. We got I'd say, about 80% of it ready to go. So we're happy with that. It's probably the most prepared we've ever been for any of our moves.
Yeah, moving always seems to be like you're kind of in a hurry. So this is nice that you've had a couple of days to sit back and relax. Now, I noticed on Facebook that Jennifer posted something about her fish. How exactly do you move goldfish?
Good question.
Well, the trick to moving fish is a big 5-gallon pickle bucket. And then, and believe it or not, it's not how much water you have for your fish. It's how much surface area is exposed to the air for your fish.
Good. So my thought was Tupperware containers, probably not a good idea.
Not if they're covered.
Okay, well, I clearly haven't moved with fish before, so
I'm not sure they're going to make it, but here we go.
we might be having fish, the cat might be having sushi before the trip is out. We don't know for sure.
So are you taking the cat? Did you find the cat at home?
Well, no, actually, we got permission from the landlord down there that the house we're moving into to bring the cat. So the beast, is now going to be traveling with us 12 hours in Jennifer's car to
to
move.
You make that. Yeah, huh? I'll teach a dog.
The cat, we've been practicing with the cat. We've actually taken him in his little kennel out to the car and driven around when they've been showing this place. And he pretty much cries the whole time. So Jennifer can put up with that for 12 hours. I'll take the dog. Thank you very much.
Jennifer, there's really this handy-dandy thing called a radio where you just blast it and you drown out any cat screaming the whole entire time. Or there's these fun little pills called acepromazine, and you can also use that.
I was trying to get her to do that, but she wouldn't do this. She didn't want to drug the cat. I was like, drug the sucker. Let's have him sleep the whole way.
Hey, it's not in your car. You don't care.
I can picture it, though, halfway down. This is a 12-hour drive. I'm going to be driving the big moving truck, and she's driving our car. And I can see it now. Halfway down, she's going to go, I got to get the cat out of here. You take the cat. I can see it's going to happen.
If he's too noisy, he's just going in the horse trailer. And nobody will care.
Well, yeah, seriously, you just put him in the back of the moving truck. I'll drown him out.
Well, what's on today's show, Jennifer?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, the best horse movie ever throwdown continues as Jamie and Amanda go at it for another round. And next up, our weekly Hoosier Horse Fair highlight makes an appearance, this time with a visit from Tribute Nutrition Horse Feed Company. And the Weekend News Roundup is here featuring Glenn the Geek's Do's and Don'ts, surprising horse ownership statistics, an unofficial Olympic announcement, and some really old but still fascinating equestrian records. Stay tuned for the ensuing craziness.
Well, thank you, Jennifer, and my... Daily Winnie goes out to some new Facebook friends that came in yesterday. Thought I'd just mention a couple of people and welcome them to the show. We have Steph Plum, we have Cameron Miller, and April Mitchell. Thank you guys for finding us, and we hope you enjoy the show. And I know you have one, right, Jamie?
I do. And you can't do it because I didn't tell you ahead of time that my Daily Winnie was going to Zenyatta. Yay! Okay, Zenyatta gets
now. Now what's Zenyatta do?
Zenyatta has been booked to a new baby daddy.
Oh, really?
Already?
Boy, it doesn't take her long. She's asleep.
She just moves right along. But don't say she is asleep. She is a classy woman, and she does not settle, okay? She's not married. She's a progressive woman who chooses her suitors selectively, and she has chosen for her next suitor the horse named Tappet. Tappet won the Wood Memorial. Tappet stands for $125,000 at Gainesway Farm just outside of Lexington. Gainesway is kind of on the way towards Paris, if you're going down the Paris Pike. And he has been represented by 7 Grade 1 winners, including the horse that we've been talking about going to the Kentucky Derby, the horse named Hansen. Do you remember us talking about Hansen, who won the Breeders' Cup this past year, 2-year-old Breeders' Cup?
Yep.
Well, that is going to be her baby daddy brother, half-brother. I can't keep up with all this stuff. Anyway, that is going to be her nephew, half-nephew. It's going to be Hansen. So now we're pulling for him for the Derby, obviously. But that is now Zenyatta's new baby daddy. So congratulations to Jerry and Ann Moss. They have announced that Tappet is going to be the man.
Why do you think they picked Tappet?
You know, what I think what they did with Bernardini, they picked kind of the hottest sire, which goes stands to reason, but he's very hot right now. He's got a bunch of nice babies running right now. And I think because she has no AP Indy in her line, that she can breed two horses that are of the AP Indy line, it kind of makes sense. So we'll see. You know, I didn't read why they said it, but I think he's just a hot stallion and they're kind of trendy.
Well, I wouldn't want to disappoint the audience, so...
Oh, God. You made me talk. You didn't upload that, didn't you?
There was no telling what was he doing. They say they sold table number 7.
I'm taking all the fun out of this.
Well, I didn't want to disappoint you. Yeah, you figured me out, though. I was getting you to... I said, oh, well, why do you think they picked him? That gave me just enough time to upload this.
Everybody watched when she spread her wings. Now she's the queen of the sport of kings. Zenyatta arrived. You feel the crowd swell.
I didn't realize that this Letha G. Fly had actually done a whole official video for this song.
She did?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that either.
It's very professional.
Is it weird that you started playing this and my dog came running in here, Zenyatta, my dog? It's like right here.
Anyway.
You got to turn it off. You're stuck in the... I need a coffee now. I'm exhausted.
All right. Well, that's great. Congratulations, Zenyatta. Well, don't forget, if you want to come in to Rolex and you want a free 5-night stay at the Clarion Hotel from April 25th to the 29th, then you need to post your favorite photo from a past Rolex or from a past event of any kind at Eventing Radio Show's Facebook page. Just go to Eventing Radio Show's Facebook page, just search for Eventing Radio Show, and post your favorite picture there. And on April the 1st, we're going to pick a winner that's going to receive a 5 nights free at the Clarion Hotel in Lexington on Newtown Pike. Now, the Clarion Hotel is the perfect place to stay. It's only 4 miles from the park. They have the Tempur-Pedic memory foam mattresses, the flat screen TVs, the whole thing. And the full breakfast, they have a bar there, they have a restaurant. Get your entries in this week, and we'll pick the winner for the free nights at the Clarion Hotel. A couple other things here, quick, Jamie, housekeeping stuff. We have the schedule for this week is going to be a little bit different because we're moving, Jennifer and I, to Ocala, Florida. So we will be live today and tomorrow, and then we have put some very special shows together for you for the next week. We'll be back again a week from Wednesday. But we have 5 days of very special shows we put together for you, and we'll be talking more about those tomorrow. But I'll give you a little bit of a hint that Jamie and Alan went to town on one show, went after each other a bit. So that's all I'm going to say, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
I really want our listeners to tune into this because it was, you know, if I'm going to, can I just give a brief overall view of what you did to us?
No, no, we'll talk about it tomorrow. We'll tease it for tomorrow.
I need my girls. I need my girls to get behind me and support and write nasty letters into Glenn and Alan. That's what I really need. Strongly worded letters written.
Well, so that's we'll let you know tomorrow what's upcoming. So tomorrow will be our last live show for the week, and you're going to an event this weekend in California. Hopefully it doesn't snow on you again, 5 inches. We hope it's going to be a little bit nicer.
Yes. Yeah, we're going to Galway Downs, and there is a, I think it goes all the way up to 2-star, and I will not be competing in those. I will be going novice with fighter jet. But it's not in the mountains like it was last time, so I think the weather should be a little bit better. I don't even care if it rains. I don't care, as long as it doesn't freaking snow.
Kind of had your share of snow for the year, did you?
Yes, I hate the snow, okay? I hate it. Hey, I think we have a caller on the line, Glenn.
Yes, we do. Would you like to take it?
I would, because this we have a caller on the line who, if you remember last Friday, there was an article written, disparaging, if you will, about the man from Snowy River not being the greatest horse movie of all time. And Amanda called in and basically, you know, in her article kind of ripped the movie and kind of ripped me. I mean, you know, internally it tore me apart. And so I gave Amanda some homework and I said, listen, you have to go watch The Return to Snowy River. And because it's a complete horse movie, it's the ending of one. It just begs you. You have to know what's coming next. And so I gave her the homework of going to watch Return to Snowy River. Let's find out, because the article has not been posted on horsenation.com yet. So I need to find out. Amanda, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
How are you today? Let me just start kindly.
Well, I did my homework.
You
and
did.
And corrected.
Woohoo!
I stand corrected.
Don't talk to me. I know I told you that the whole Brian Dennehy thing was a little confusing and Jessica had really bad hair, but other than
her hair, I don't know what to say about her hair. It was worse than Brian Dennehy.
Don't you just want to, like, come here, like lick your fingers and smooth it down? Yeah.
She needed some deep conditioning. She needed a straightening iron. She needed something. It was pretty bad.
It was bad. But the overall movie, let's hear what you thought.
I really liked it. I thought that it had a lot more of the horse human bonding element that I was searching for in the first one. And the ending where Jim and Stalker Brumby do, like, a Marvel comic book team-up to go after the bad guy, I thought was the greatest thing ever.
You just compared your movie to a comic book, Jamie. just saying.
Because he's Superman and he's riding Spider-Man. I mean, it's totally true.
That's what it was like. It was a Marvel, because they're like, well, you know, we don't agree on everything, but we agree that this guy is evil. So, you know, let's go get him.
Let's go get the bad guy. Bad guy unite with good guy to go get the other bad guys, the really bad guys. Yeah, you're exactly right. And you know what? I've read interviews with Tom Burlington, who played Jim Craig, and he thought that the worst part of the movie was that they developed this personification, like basically that the horse had a personality, and he didn't like that. I'm like, that was the best freaking part. The fact that they
I thought that was the best part.
Yes,
that was the best part.
When I read in your first article that you were missing that horsey-human connection, you know, having watched the second one, I realized that there was a strong connection between Jim and his buckskin, but they really didn't develop that in the first story. They really developed it in the second story.
Right.
So, and it's amazing that 10 years later, I really think he had the same horse in the first movie.
It looked like the same horse. I tried to, like, you know, Google Wikipedia, and I couldn't find out. But it did look like the same horse to me.
All right, listen, here's what we're going to have to do. Obviously, Amanda, this movie affected you. It has affected me. We've got to team up, and we've got to find Jim Craig, a.k.a. Tom Burlington, and we have to interview him. And we could do a joint interview with him on horsenation.com and on horsesinthemorning.com. I want to talk to him. It has to happen. I do a horse radio show.
That would be fantastic. And I tell you, I am now a Jim Craig convert, because during the scene when him and Jessica were like at the fireside, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
And he's like, hello, darling. And he like walks up to her.
You melted a little bit.
I was like, what? He should have sung at my wedding, too.
Love you. What, I mean, he just sees that look he gives her. But what did you think about like the first part when he is trying to prove himself on that young horse, the really pretty bay, and they go galloping through the thing? But before that, when he finally sees her and they meet eye to eye, and he's like, "Hello, Jess." Oh, God!
It was good. It was good.
So good. So good.
This movie, it made me a Jim Craig and a Man from Snowy River convert. It was much better than the original.
Yeah.
I have to tell you guys, though, after listening to you just talk here for the last couple of minutes, it pretty much makes any horse husband out there go, if my wife ever mentions this movie, I'm running! Because you made it sound so much like a chick flick, it was unbelievable.
It was a chick flick, but it had good stuff. It had some really, really good writing at the end of the movie.
Oh, even at the beginning of the movie. I mean, just watching him on this buckskin just go up and down these hills, cantering, trotting, like he's herding a herd of horses, and he's driving this herd of horses, and all the horses are spectacular, and him on the horse is spectacular. And so pretty much the entire movie is just really top-notch riding. And it's him. I mean, obviously it's him. And then they have another.
It did look like him. And I even thought Brian Dennehy was actually riding, which I was impressed with.
The gallop scene where Brian Dennehy, who is like 1,000 pounds, is on this horse hauling butt. Like you can see the track, the dirt clods flying behind him, and he's hauling butt through this beautiful forest. You're right. That was actually Brian Dennehy riding. It was crazy.
I was very impressed with Brian Dennehy's 2-point gallop position.
You know what? I'm going to have to watch this movie tonight. And then to make my husband happy, I may have to give it up at the end. But, you know, it's going to be totally worth it. I'm going to see it again. So good luck with – we're going to put our heads together, and we are going to interview Jim Craig. You are a convert. Do you now think that this collectively is the greatest horse movie of all time?
I would still say possibly.
Ah, he's not converted. You didn't win.
It was very non-committal.
Well, I would say I talked about this with my husband, like, at length last night to the point where, you know.
You didn't make him watch it, did you?
I did not make him watch it.
Okay.
But I talked to him at length about it. And I said, it is definitely the best cowboy, horseman, you know, type movie ever. But is it the best horse movie ever? Because Denny died.
Why you gotta, like, blow the ending, blow the story?
Sorry. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Well, you know, if it's a return, with a name like Snowy River or Return to Snowy River, you know somebody's going to die. I mean, it's just a given.
Yeah,
it wasn't
well,
a given. I didn't see it coming. It was terrible.
Oh, my God. It's shocking is what it is.
It was terrible. And then Alistair just, like, you know, he's just so unguilty about it. It was terrible.
Let's go make sure. You killed him. Let's go make sure. No, we got to go, Meg. We got to go. And so they all leave, and there he is, and he's sitting there. Well, I also read somewhere that he actually really got hurt in that stunt, Jim Craig did.
Oh,
so.
No. Well, it looks
yeah,
like
it was,
he broke his leg because the dinghy rolled completely over his leg.
Yeah, I think he actually really did get hurt in that. But it was just an amazing scene, and it was very, very shocking. And I was upset. I mean, did you cry?
I didn't cry. I was so mad, I don't think I could cry.
Mad at Alistair?
I was mad at Alistair for shooting. It was just unbelievable to me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still pretty pissed about that, too. If I saw him on the street, I would walk up to him and spit on him.
I probably would, too. I had when I watched that scene, all I saw was, because all this Titanic, I've been thinking about Titanic with all these previews that are on now.
Uh-huh.
And I saw Rose, like, you unimaginable, beep, beep, I can't say that on air, but she said something very not nice to the bad guy in Titanic, and then she spits in his face. And that's just what I thought Alistair needed.
He is such a bad guy. Well, I am so glad that you liked the movie. The man from Snowy River got 3.5 out of 4 because you didn't feel like there was a horse-human connection. Now, obviously, this one, when the stalker Brumby, as you call him, the wild stallion comes together and they bond and they save it, and then the horse-human bond with Denny and the loss of him and all this drama. What was your rating for the man for Return to Snowy River?
I gave it for the Marvel team-up. A full 4 golden horseshoes.
Woo-hoo! 4 baby. I love it. And I did Google what a bandicoot is, by the way.
It's a giant rat. Someone emailed me and said a bandicoot is like a giant Australian rat.
Exactly. They called it a small mammal on Wikipedia, but giant rat would be probably more appropriate. Well, listen, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to see the post, and I'm going to show all my friends and tell them.
Okay,
I was
you're
great.
Welcome.
All right, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
From horsenation.com, Eden Little Crow, and celebrating Jim Craig. And the return to Snowy River. I appreciate it.
No problem. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, you got that out of your system. You feel good now?
I love her again. I'm just telling you, I'm not lying. I've seen all the horse movies. It's by far collectively the best horse movie of all time. There you go.
You sounded like such chicks talking about that movie. Talk about a chick flick. Oh, my God. It's not.
There's death and destruction and drama and fierce riding and fighting. There's fighting in it. And one guy takes a piece of wood and clubs the other guy over the head. I mean, there's drama, Glenn. You would like The Return. You would like it.
Okay. I'll put that on my viewing list for next
if you
next
can get
year.
Past Jessica's hair and Brian Dennehy galloping on a horse.
If there's more than 2 minutes of a horse galloping across the countryside, that's it for me. I'm done.
Really?
What was that movie with the guy who was out there in the prairie? What was that called? He spent his entire time riding around the prairie. Can't remember the name of it now. Hated that movie.
With Wolves.
Ugh, what an awful movie.
Which one?
Dances with Wolves.
What? An awful movie?
What an awful boring movie.
How
you
are
could fall asleep
even
at that in about 10 minutes.
How are we... You know, I actually only watched the first half of that because I know what happened.
You fell asleep?
Half. Oh, no, no. I just turned it off because it gets too sad. How can you not like Dances with Wolves? What is wrong with you? Oh.
Can I get on my high horse for about 4 minutes here?
All
we
right.
had to convert Horses in the Morning, all of our Facebook fan pages, over to the new timeline deal. This sucks. Really bad. Sucks.
I hate it.
It's awful.
I hate it.
Like we used to have that nice thing down the middle, and you could see when our listeners posted comments, and it was so easy now. The listeners posting comments are on the right side there. And I was going, where are the listener comments? Because I know people are listening, and Aubrey posted and Dawn posted. But you have to hit see all for me to get to see all the listener comments and to actually comment on. It's such a pain in the butt. This thing is awful. I hate it more than I hated it last week. And I hated it a lot last week. Ugh, it's awful. And then we had to put our big, huge pictures up there. So I apologize to everybody for having to see our mugshot every time he comes to the page. But
yeah, can we put a picture of a horse up there or something?
Something
can
I'll find just... something else to put up there. see, Aubrey posted, and I missed it because I didn't see it in the timeline because it's on the right side there. And she said, Glenn, you need to warn me before you play the Zenyatta song. I didn't have time to get the earbuds out of my ears fast enough.
Me either, Aubrey. I'm totally with you, girl. I couldn't get my headphones off fast enough and run out of the room.
And Dawn, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. Thank you for posting. But these people are posting on our page, and I didn't even see where it was. Am I the only one? Post on our Facebook page so we can't read it and tell us if I'm the only one that doesn't like it. Sorry,
can we
write
a strongly worded letter to the Facebook people and tell them we don't like it?
Do you think they really care? They're about to go public for about $1 trillion. Do you think they really care?
I bet that nobody will buy it because nobody likes the timeline.
Do you like it? Is it just me or do you like it?
It's awful. This is terrible. I like Facebook more than other websites like this for a reason. Like the Pinterest, there's just too much on the page. And the like MySpace where people were putting all the backgrounds up and the crazy flashing things, too much. Like, that's why I like reading blogs. It's because there's one thing, and then you scroll down, there's the next thing, and then there's the next thing. And that, to me, is easier to read than this thing where, my God, it's just... There's crap everywhere.
Yeah, and just going back.
I even update my phone, and now my phone has different Facebook. It sucks.
I know. It really does. It just is hard. It's just not intuitive. It's not the way a person's mind thinks. A person's mind goes down one column and reads the whole column, and then comes up to the next column. That's how your mind looks like in a newspaper. That's how your mind thinks. It doesn't go back and forth. Like this,
you know what we should do? We should tweet about how awful Facebook is and hashtag it.
Oh, well, there's been a few of those. You look that up sometime. We're not the only ones that have this issue.
Let's join the fun.
Oh, well.
I'm
going to
see what there is on Twitter. It might take me 15 minutes, but we'll find out. We'll see.
You know what else? You know what makes me feel better, though, Jamie? It makes me feel better. Is, you know how I'm a sucker. I love TiVoing things because I can skip through the commercials. But you know how I'm a sucker for commercials when I have to watch them. And this is the reason I have to TiVo commercials, because I buy everything. So I never did very well watching late night TV where all the infomercials were on because I wanted to buy it all. So anyway, I saw a commercial for chocolate Philadelphia cream cheese. Chocolate cream cheese. They added the two food groups that are the best food groups in the world, chocolate and cream cheese. Put them together to make chocolate cream cheese. I have to. I'm going out after the show today and buying chocolate cream cheese because I want to try chocolate cream cheese. Has anybody had chocolate cream cheese yet?
What exactly do you put chocolate cream cheese on? Because I know with Nutella.
I think you eat it with a spoon right out of the tub.
Gross. That's,
why would you need to put it on anything? You just eat it right out of the tub like it's pudding. Chocolate cream cheese, for God's sake.
No, Steve, I think you're confusing how awesome that would be with Nutella. Now, I take Nutella and spread it on the English muffin. It's the greatest food. I could see chocolate cream cheese being good on that as well. So, I don't know. Whatever.
I put chocolate cream cheese on spaghetti. It just sounds good.
Sorry, turn myself off.
I'll let you know because tomorrow I'm going. Today I'm going to get some chocolate cream cheese, and I will give a report tomorrow. I will open it on the air tomorrow, and I'll eat it just like I did in Nutella. And I don't know what I'm going to put it on. I'll figure that out. But I will try it tomorrow.
You really think that chocolate cream? We need to move on from this.
How about a commercial?
That sounds good. Save us commercial. Save us. Now I'm getting hungry. Suck. Well,
right.
We want to talk to you a little bit about Omega Alpha. Omega Alpha, thank you so much for sponsoring today's show. And we care about what we feed our horses, probably, as Glenn just attested to. We probably care more about what we feed our horses than what we feed ourselves. Who would eat chocolate cream cheese from a spoon? That's disgusting. Omega Alpha also cares about what goes into your horses and ponies, and that is why Omega Alpha only uses natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. All of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang is well-respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for you and your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse, and you can see them all at omegaalpha.ca. That is omegaalpha.ca.
Thank you, Jamie. Well, Rick Conley chimed in that the Facebook is a mess to follow. And see, we're not the only ones. We got other people chiming in that this is just awful. I think we should start a podcast on how bad Facebook is.
I would love to see how his comment, but I can't find it.
See, with mine, it's on the right. You have all of our sort of things on the left. And then I just discovered something else. If you drive down and you go below the header at the top, there's this little bar that pops up that gives you some choices. It says horses in the morning, timeline now, highlights with a little drop down. Do you see that if you drive down a little further?
I'm looking.
The far right one, if it doesn't say highlights, use your drop-down menu and hit highlights. And then it changes how your page looks.
I don't like this thing. You're just going to have to tell me what's going on.
I know. If you have to explain it to somebody, it's not good. By the way, Aubrey just chimed in. Sorry, Glenn, chocolate cream cheese is disappointing. Poor man's Nutella. I agree on the timeline thing. It's awkward and sloppy. Now you've ruined it for me. Now I have to get it. I have to see if Aubrey's right.
It's the poor man's Nutella. Spend that extra dollar and get that jar of Nutella. Broke-ass Nutella.
And Jennifer, I assume our guest is not here yet.
You are correct.
Okay.
Well,
so,
I have a story.
Okay, go ahead.
Can I tell you about a couple things? Most importantly, I want to just tell everybody about, Henny, Peter Atkins, and Run Henny Run, all the helmet cam videos that he does. He's very much a part of, the social media world. He won an ESMA. And Henny is trying to get to badminton and trying to qualify for the London Olympics. And they are asking for a little bit of help from the equestrian community. Now, he has 6,000-plus fans on Facebook, and if every single one of them will go on to, and Jennifer, maybe if you don't mind posting the link somewhere on our massive Facebook page, it's the one I've got at the very bottom of the show notes. It is shop.runhennyrun.com. Maybe, Glenn, you can post that for me if you don't mind. And they're asking people to make donations, actually just to buy certain things for Henny and his run to badminton, I guess what you would say. So you can go on and you can buy certain things like carrots. You can buy some carrot treats. Apples and carrots, $10 for Henny, $50 for grain. You can basically go to and from the flight for Henny's groom, $800. You can donate hay for Henny at $140. You can buy a pair of Henny shoes. Well, they pay a lot for shoes, $250. All the way down to buying a baseball cap. You can make just a charitable tax-deductible donation. You can get a T-shirt, any of these things. Run Henny Run at shop.runhennyrun.com. Check it out, and you can help Peter Adkins and Henny get all the way to badminton and hopefully London Olympics.
All right, I'm trying to figure out how to post it on Facebook.
Oh, Lord.
And they took the link button away. That's the other thing. They took the link button away, and now you just have to paste the links into the Here it is. I got it. It's posted.
It's posting. Okay, so you can go ahead and check that out. And other news, you know, our friend Uncle Mo, who has a Facebook page, and he's now, I don't know if I can read his Facebook page, but he has a Facebook page. We've been following him forever. Uncle Mo is going to be going down under to stud this year. In the off season, they will be shuttling him to Coolmore in Australia. So congratulations to him. He gets to do it year-round.
Vacation. Woohoo!
Gets to go to Australia for a vacation that any man would be jealous of.
Yeah, it's nice when you go on vacation and that you only have one job, one thing to do.
Yeah, you know, why not?
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'll sign up for that. Australia, vacation, one thing to do. Sounds good. Perfect job.
Yeah.
Hey, when you're on racing, let's give the news here. And I tried to look for the audio for this, and I just can't find it anywhere. River, we've been following See You at Peelers. That's our favorite standardbred racehorse. Well, See You at Peelers was out on Friday again and did the four-year-old debut. And she came away a winner, sort of. How many times in racing history have you ever seen a dead tie, where they called it a dead tie for the win?
The dead heat. I've never actually seen one in person, but I have seen, you know, pictures of them, but they are very rare.
Well, that's what happened the other night. This race was so close that at the end, even with the little instant picture they take at the end there for the dead heat, there was no discernible difference between the two. They actually called it a tie for first place. So See You at Peelers comes back after being injured for a period of time and only came away with a tie for first place. But that's not too bad, considering how sick this horse was with heart issues and everything else and how long he's been laid up. Now, she ran earlier in March, but she did very well. And, you know, it's not too bad to come back and a tie. I read the article three times, so I figured out they were really talking about a tie for first place.
Yeah, what did they call it? I can't even. Even though she only came away with half a loaf, she was a lot better. I'm like, what does that mean? And is that like creepy standardbred race talk?
Yeah.
So it wasn't just me that this article was written in a completely foreign language.
Yes, I read the whole article twice, and it was like, I have no idea what they're saying.
This is not like European or Irish or Australian. This is like United States. And I don't understand what they're saying in it either. So, who the heck knows? She had to survive an inquiry to get her 50% of the glory. Still, that doesn't say dead heat. Just say she was in a dead heat. The time.
Yeah, and Dawn Deans, our racing expert, posted this morning that CEO, if it was a dead heat winner. Well, that was much clearer than what we just read in this whole article. But congratulations to CEO at Peelers for comeback. We're hoping that this horse continues to do well, and now I can have my new ending at the end of the show again. I can say it again because he's not injured anymore. She's not injured.
Yeah, you keep saying he.
I keep saying he.
It's a
well,
she. It's like girl power with Zenyatta and Havre de Grace, and you've got Rachel Alexandra and Siyua Peelers. It's just girl power. It is the decade
yeah,
of
but
the female
what
resource.
What keeps confusing me is the name Siyua Peelers, because it's a couple of guys sitting around saying Siyua Peelers, which was a strip club, and they put the name on a mare.
Well, that's because maybe she was slated to work there. I don't know. Maybe we're going to see
the
you
on the
dancing
pole.
At Peelers. Yeah.
She's
the one on the pole. Exactly.
Yay, now I get it.
Something wrong with you. Hey, I just realized, too,
yeah.
I forgot. We need to call Amanda back. I just sent her an email. She needs, I've got another movie for her to review. Because it's if she really likes Jim Craig and the Man from Snowy River, she's got to watch Farlap. So I'm emailing her right now. You have to watch Farlap and then come back and review that one online on our show, because it's Jim Craig with a racehorse. And I'm not going to
be sad, though.
I'm not telling her the ending. I'll make that woman cry. I will get her to cry over Jim Craig, whether she likes it or not.
And by the way, her review was just posted apparently on Horse Nation, because I just saw a post there. So if you want to read her review of the movie that we talked about earlier, it is now posted on horsenation.com. Well, there is a couple other stories from the weekend. Saudi Arabia is going to maybe, if somebody pressures them enough, going to be sending one female athlete to the Olympics this year. Apparently they have never done that in the past. You know, it is a Muslim country, and they don't believe in well, Saudi Arabia, women can't even drive. And I didn't realize this, but authorities shut down all the private gyms for females in 2009 and 2010, so they can't even go work out.
They love women there. They think that men should own five or six of them.
Exactly. So, well, apparently, I think what happened was the Olympic Committee and a lot of people from around the world were starting to put pressure on some of the Muslim countries who had never sent women to the Olympics. And there's a couple of them. There's three or four of them over there. Well, now they're all this year talking about sending someone. Well, the one that Saudi Arabia is mulling on sending is, her name is Dalma Malhas. She's 18, and she's Saudi Arabia's only female athlete, and she is a show jumper. So they're thinking about sending her for show jumping this year. So we'll see if it actually comes through. Apparently, a couple of the princes and interior ministers have given the nod to sending her to the games, but the decision has not yet officially been declared.
This just makes
and
me
one
mad.
Of the countries. See, now that what's really coming out is the backside of this story. One of the countries, I forget whether it's Qatar or one of them, is wanting to host the Olympics. They put in a bid to host one of the Olympics. I think it's like 2020 something. And you know, they know they're never going to have a shot at it unless they start sending women to the Olympics. So that's one of the reasons they think that all the Muslim countries are now considering doing it.
I'm reading this. The Saudi Crown Prince Naif bin Abdul Aziz is also the powerful interior minister known for his opposition to women being given the right to drive. So this guy wholeheartedly publicly opposes giving women the right to drive.
Oh, yeah.
Ladies, run across the desert. We'll pick you up on the other side. Go. Get out of there.
A couple other things here. New York, they just did a study, and a decade ago, there were 10,881 horse farms in New York, and according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the number of farms has risen to 11,404 when the latest census was taken. And New York is home to more than 202,000 equines with 152,000 owners. So they say that there's a total impact in the state of $2.4 billion. So New York was number three on the list of horse-owning states, if I remember right, when we talked about that before. The $2.4 billion in impact for horse owners in New York.
I have a question for you, Glenn. What would have happened if you had not changed the Facebook page?
They were changing it automatically on the 30th.
So you wouldn't have had to do all the work.
Oh, no. Then there would be nothing. It would look awful if we had waited for them. And it would still be the same. It's just I did it a week early.
I'm watching because I was just looking at Uncle Mo's Facebook page, and he talks about how he's going on a field trip, and he has not changed his page yet. So,
oh, it will be by the end of the week.
That sucks.
Everyone's changing by the end of the week, whether we like it or not. And, you know, one of the arguments I've heard Facebook make before is it's free. What are you complaining about?
Because it sucks. I can complain. I'm an American. I have the right to complain. I have the right to drive. I have the right to be in the Olympics. And I have the right to complain about Facebook.
Let's take a break for our song. And then I'm going to come back. And we'll talk about the top 10 oldest equestrian horse records. Top 10 oldest equestrian horse records. And we'll see, Jamie, if you can guess some of these. But so this should be fun. We'll do that when we come back. And then we have Leslie from Horse Nation coming on with the highlights from the weekend. So let's do all of that after our song. I was feeling like a little cowboy music and all of this talk about cowboys you guys did this morning. I'm glad I picked this one. And it's The Hero is a Clown by Dan Roberts. And I remember the first time I played this and your husband walked in and he made some snide comment about, what is that song about? Remember that? The first time I played this?
Yes.
The Hero is a Clown by Dan Roberts.
Cowboys have their own brand of heroes. Some are living in the shadows, some on the silver screen. They're tough men, straight shooting as a fence rope, standing rugged as a line pole, and few and far between. But there's a man you may not think of as a hero, because his reputation plays it down. But at a rodeo, ask any bull rider, he'll even tell an outsider his hero is a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, to risk his life to keep them safe and sound. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. Well, don't let that painted face fool you, cause he can sure enough school you, he's been down the road. From the finals all the way to Little Britches, he keeps a minute out of stitches, both young and old. So here's to all the boys that work the barrel, all of you that fight 'em on the ground. When the dust clears, they mark the ride and the crowd cheers. It ain't changed in 100 years. The hero's still a clown. The buckles and the glory, they're only half the story in the legend of the man behind the frown. He's as tough as any other, they trust him like a brother, from tie to Don to Jim to Freckles Brown. For the bull rider, his hero is a clown. For the wild bull rider, the hero's still a clown.
And that's Dan Roberts, The Hero is a Clown, oldbootsmusic.com is where you can find all of his music. I love that song. I don't know why, but I love that song. If you're listening to Horses in the Morning, I am Glenn DeGeek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is producing today. This show is sponsored by Omega Alpha. And our Horse Radio Network show highlight for today is the Eventing Radio Show. You can find it up there right now at eventingradio.com. And Chris had Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks on. Clayton was talking about his upcoming events, and Lucinda stopped by and talked about retiring Hedley Britannia. So you can find all of that at eventingradio.com.
Now, see, if you were thinking ahead, you would have played Clayton Frederick's song that we play on here.
I didn't even think
about
that.
Being a champion. Okay, I want to request Clayton's song for tomorrow. There you go.
Okay, I'll find it. I have it. I'll play that tomorrow.
No Zenyatta songs. No, nothing else.
Oh, what'd you say? Zenyatta? Did you say Zenyatta?
No, don't do it. Oh. No, I did not. I did not. You're stealing all my excitement about the horse. This is a stupid
apparently
song.
Apparently Aubrey's too. Don't worry, Aubrey. I'm not going to play it. You're safe. Don't take the earbuds out yet. The top 10 oldest equestrian horse records. And this was from Yahoo, actually, posted this. So we'll go through these. I think they were kind of interesting. The oldest horse book, and I know Jennifer can guess this one. I know you know this one, Jennifer. The oldest horse-related book that they've ever found. Any
Black
guesses,
Beauty.
Jennifer?
Black Beauty.
No, not Black Beauty. Sorry. Jennifer, are you there? You're on mute, I think.
Oh, yeah, I'm on mute. I have to keep myself on mute because I spit things out. You know, I don't know what it's called. All I know is it's by Zephanon.
That's exactly right. It's by Zephanon. His book was penned between 430 and 400 before Christ, B.C. And let's see here. It's a book on horsemanship and riding, and they don't really have a name for it. It's the oldest equestrian text on record. It's from ancient Greece. And there is one quote from it, and it is, "Fast is fine, but accuracy is everything." So there you go.
I'm really going to stick with my answer of Black Beauty.
This is a little too early for you. You've never read Zephanon?
I thought it was Xenophon. No.
Xenophon? Well, it could be. I don't know.
I don't know. I just made that up. Go ahead.
We could read that one. There's probably no copyright on that one anymore.
Dude, give me a copy of it. It'd be awesome.
Let's see if you can read it in ancient Greek. The second... on the list is oldest equestrian publication in the United States. Any guesses?
I go with Chronicle of the Horse.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
In America, there is some confusion online about the oldest publication. Although the Chronicle of the Horse began in 1937, it is not the oldest equine magazine in the U.S. Instead, a newspaper once called American Horse began in 1865 and was associated with the Saddlebred organization in Louisville. In 1935, an image makeover led to the name we all recognize, the National Horseman. So there's a battle about which one was first because they changed the name then in 35 or something like that. So the Chronicle was one of the oldest.
Well, there you go. I got one right. What else next?
This one you should get because we broadcast from there last year, the oldest American indoor horse show.
We broadcast from there?
Yeah, you weren't there because we didn't invite you.
Oh, and I'm like, Rolex? Norco? you got me.
National Horse Show.
Oh.
That was moved to the Kentucky Horse Park this last year. But since then, or before then, in 1883, it was at Madison Square Garden. And it's today's the nation's oldest indoor horse show, and it's conducted by the National Horse Show Association. It says although it's moved around since 1883, it has been ongoing. Let's see here. It's moved around since 1883, and it has been in a number of places, but it was mostly around New York. Since then, it's been moved to Lexington. It's planning on staying here, too, apparently. The oldest U.S. outdoor equestrian show.
The oldest U.S. outdoor. I don't know. I'm going to Galway this weekend. Is that one? It's outdoors.
Nope. Much older. This actually started in 1853. And anybody that lives on the East Coast would probably have a guess. Jennifer, do you have a guess?
Devon.
No? Oh, right. All right idea, though. It's Upperville. The Upperville Colt and Horse Show started in 1853, and that's held in Virginia, isn't it, Jim?
Yes.
Yes, Upperville's in Virginia. And it's just, it's not too far from the Capitol, actually, and it's designated as the World Championship Hunter Rider Show since 1853. That's an old show. That's been around.
Upperville is in Montana, Glenn. Duh.
No, this Upperville's in Virginia.
Just kidding, I made that up. Jeez. All right,
oldest
carry on.
Equine, the oldest, you should know this, Jamie, the oldest equine medicine institute.
The oldest equine medicine institute? Like
veterinary
vet
office. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why should I know this? Let's see. I would go with something up in the New England area.
You'd be wrong.
Okay, I'm going to go with something in the south.
Okay, let me rephrase my
something
hint.
Out west?
Jamie, you should know this because you spent time where it is.
Let's see. Equine hospitals I have spent time at in Georgia, the University of Georgia, time and money there. I have spent time in Kentucky.
I didn't say you spent money there. Oh, yeah, you spent time in Kentucky. There you go. You're getting warmer.
All right. Well, there's hospitals include, excuse me, dogs, I'm talking. Hospitals include Rue and Riddle or Haggard. Or
Haggard.
Are you saying, there
nope,
you go.
You got it. Haggard Equine Medical Institute, founded in 1876, is the largest veterinary practice in addition to being the oldest in the world.
Okay.
However, one interesting fact is that Haggard did not come to Kentucky for horses. Instead, Haggard, they started for bulls. They worked on cows.
And what?
Yep.
Well, they must have changed the name from Haggard Bovine Institute to Haggard Equine.
Apparently, it was just meant to be a veterinary hospital, and they eventually turned to horses when horses became so popular here in the early 1900s. So,
and
Haggard,
let me just tell you that I have spent money there.
Oh.
So, you know, every good horse person should.
If you live in Lexington, you're eventually going to spend money at Haggard or at Rude and Riddle. One of those two.
Or both, you know. You
or both.
Don't limit yourself.
Exactly. Now, the oldest equestrian training school in the world, and this is a school, not a, you know, hospital. The oldest equestrian training school, and you won't get this one, so I'll just give it to you.
Jockey
you
school.
Might get it. What?
Jockey school.
No, but let me give you a hint that you're going to be traveling very close to this in a month or two.
Where am I going? I'm going to Spain.
This is equestrian training school. This isn't medical now, okay? Equestrian training.
In the United States or the whole world?
Whole world.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go to the you're talking to Spanish riding school.
Yes,
oh,
I am.
I've been there. It's awesome. And it's not in Spain.
It's
in
Austria.
Yep.
I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes, I got that. Yeah. I was wrong on that one. Yep. 1572. Old
no way.
World. Yep.
You know, that brings up horsenation.com because she just did a review. Amanda, who we talked to earlier, did a review because they have a movie called Miracle of the White Stallions, and it actually is filmed at the Spanish Riding School in Vienna, or at least it's supposed to be. So you can check out the review of Miracle of the White Stallions on horsenation.com. How's that for a connector right there? Booyah. And guess who we have on the phone?
Perfect.
We have Leslie from horsenation.com. It is Horse Nation Day here on Horses in the Morning. What's up, Leslie?
Hey, guys.
Hello. So we've already talked to Amanda today because you know, she was making disparaging comments about myself and my favorite movie of all time and calling me out on your website. So I gave her some homework assignment, and I noticed that you've just posted on horsenation.com her review of Return to Snowy River, where she gave it 4 out of 4 horseshoes, and I totally redeemed myself, making it a collective movie. So, you know, what did you think about the whole exciting Snowy River thing?
Oh, I've been highly entertained by all the controversy. You know, it's such an important subject.
It is really important. Don't forget it. Now, you're an inventor, so
forget the presidential debates. What's the best horse movie of all time?
I'm glad that you see it the way I do. Okay. So you're an inventor, though. You've seen these movies. What did you think?
Oh, I mean, those were some of my favorite movies growing up, and I remember, obviously the galloping down the mountain scene. Like we actually tried to reenact that at the barn. We had this huge it was a big steep hill, and we would line our ponies up at the top of it, bareback, usually bareback, and of course.
I have no idea where
our parents, where were instructors. I have no idea. They were not present. But we would line our ponies up and then race them down the hill bareback, leaning back as far as we could go and kicking our ponies as hard as we could. And you know, obviously, it rarely ended well. But those were both highly influential movies for me growing up, for better or worse.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think of things like that, too. I'm like, I remember when I was galloping my pony so fast that she just ran into a tree, like, head on. And I just remember going, why did I not have a helmet on? Why was I bareback? Why was my reins bailing twine that was attached to my halter? And where was my mother? And why did I not have a helmet? All these things pop up in my head. From my youth, and you're right, like, we really should have had more care, you know, more love. So what is happening on horsenation.com? What are you bringing to us today?
Well, I guess today I'd love to talk about, we started a new series last week. We have brought a new columnist on board named Liz Bernard, who's doing a new series for us on alternative modalities, which I think it's a fascinating subject. The column is called A Better Alternative. And I've always been I just go back and forth as far as alternative therapies go, either from drinking the Kool-Aid to just being like, oh, my horse can suck it up, you know. If I don't get a massage therapist, neither does he. But at another time, my last upper-level mare, She had a chiropractor, a massage therapist. She had special oils that we, you know, put on her chakras. She had an energy worker. We had the animal communicator talk to her, herbal crap in her feed, the homeopathic this and that, and acupuncture. And of course, she never did. And the whole point of it was, maybe if we go about all these, she'll be good in dressage, which never really happened. But I've been down all of those roads, and been down them and back, and I think it's going to be nice to have someone on board with us who can walk us through those different modalities, and I think she's coming from a really reasonable place. Like, she's not, you know, some hippie, voodoo witch doctor, she's coming from the standpoint of, yes, these alternative modalities are out there. They're not substitute for veterinary medicine and good, you know, horse keeping practices, but, sometimes they can complement, your more traditional practices. So I think that'll be really, really fun. She had her first column last week that was talking about what to expect from body work and what it is. And today she'll have a new column that discusses, making that decision, when to call the vet, and when maybe this is something that you can sort out with an alternative medicine practitioner.
I got to tell you that I have a new respect for some of the alternatives now that I got to know Wendy, Dr. Wendy Ying, who is the co-host of the driving radio show. She's a regular vet, but a traditional Chinese medicine doctor as well as an acupuncturist and a chiropractor. She does them all. And, you know, she's been doing a series on traditional Chinese medicine. And then we've had Dr. Chang from Omega Alpha, our title sponsor for today, coming on and doing nutrition segments. And he also does all natural products at Omega Alpha. And I have learned so much, and it is very, very interesting stuff. And, you know, from what Wendy says, it really does work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, those medicines have been, the Eastern medicine has been around for an awfully long time.
A lot longer than us.
Right.
This is just so crazy that you're talking about this, because we got my husband a new horse, and he's having some trouble cantering on the right lead, and he just kind of looks a bit uncomfortable. He's actually getting acupuncture today, like at 9 o'clock this morning, my time. So this is very appropriate that you're talking about it today. And this weekend at Galway Downs, my horse will be having calming oils rubbed around his nostrils before dressage. So.
I totally get it. Good luck. I hope it works for you. I mean, why not? Why not give it a shot, right?
Is the calming oil laced with Common Cool or what?
No. Just because it's laced with xylazine, Glenn, doesn't make it bad. Just kidding. Yeah, so this is great. So we can find the article, and she's going to be doing, like, weekly updates on you know, alternative medicine.
Yep, that's right. That's right. Every Monday, so you can look forward to that. I am.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll take some pictures of my husband's 17 hand thoroughbred getting acupuncture, who, when we did get him vaccinated, was quite needle shy. So this should be exciting. He doesn't like needles. Stick about 100 in them. That's a great idea.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea.
That's great. Well, I know that Glenn had a couple favorite videos. I mean, obviously, the fox in the snow. The fox hunting
in the snow. Oh, fox in the snow.
Oh, but I'll tell you what, that's not the one that made me crack up. The one that made me crack up was your video du jour. You have to scroll down the page a little bit. What people do for fun in Tennessee, speed racking. Now, I died watching that video. And this looks like a cartoon. You're talking about cartoons earlier. We were talking about cartoons earlier. This looks like a cartoon. It looks like something that would be in Wile E. Coyote. You know, these horses racking. Everybody's familiar with what racking is. Well, these guys are like going 90 miles an hour while racking. I have never seen anything like it. And I was dying laughing watching this. It is hilarious.
It is, but, and you know, it's for real, and how I found out about it, actually, is I was hunting, one of our fox hunting territories is this East Fork Stables, which is, I guess, kind of near Middle Tennessee, so it's a couple hours
there.
Away from me. You've been there, okay. So, so I was just asking, I was like, you know, what do they do here the rest of the year? And they said, oh, you know, well, people come and trail ride, and then they have these big speed racking events, and they have speed racking races up and down these dirt roads, and it's just this big deal. And I was like, no way, you know, like that's weird. And then I started looking into it, and I found out that it's for real, and it's pretty funny.
I don't even know what to say or think about it. I have no thoughts about it. I don't know what to say. All I did was laugh. It's just funny.
Well, I kind of liked that obviously these people are getting out and enjoying their horses. And people that enjoy their horses and horses that have jobs, I can't argue with. That's awesome. What was really funny is that it's almost like a tailgating weekend affair. I mean, there's people parked. They have, like, their spreads out. It's like they're going to a college football game, and they've got the grills going. And then behind them is a horse tied to a trailer. It's the craziest thing. And there is an awful lot of sleeveless denim shirts with shorts. So the fashion is
spectacular. It is Tennessee.
Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Awesome.
You had another one, too. You had another article in there, Life Lessons from Show Mom. Tell us about that. I thought that was a good one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, we have this columnist who refers to herself as the aiding and abetting amateur. And she wrote her column last week about horse show moms, which, you know, I think behind every, you know, behind all of us, like, we all have some story of, you know, how our parents dealt with our little horse problem growing up. And, you know, and I think that some parents handle it better than others. You know, I think Jamie and I were talking earlier about, like, where were our parents when we were, doing these nutty things. So in this column, she's just talking about really singing her mom's praises for she grew up doing, you know, the ponies on the A circuit, which is just a brutal, you know, if you've been around that at all, it's just brutal. The moms can be so cutthroat, and the judging doesn't always make sense. And, you know, it's maybe not entirely wholesome, you know, when you see your arch-rival and nemesis over there winning the blue because she's on a, you know, $500,000 pony or whatever. But in just how her mom dealt with that and turned it into a really positive experience. I thought that was
I got to read one sentence to you, though, Jamie. And this is just, you wonder after reading the sentence why moms aren't really into girls riding horses a whole lot and competitively. Today, mom does not jump up and down about my competitive pursuit of riding. Being burned by trainers, being injured constantly, being worked to near death, she has seen the sport hurt me time and time again. No parent wants to see their kids getting hurt on a regular basis. I mean, right?
Yeah.
And that's what happens. You're either getting hurt emotionally, physically, or mentally. You know, mentally. It's one of those things, you're getting hurt doing this.
You could ask my dad about the time that I was a working student, and he basically grabbed me by the shirt and was like, "We're getting you out of here." Like, I wasn't some slave trade or something. Like, I'm going to free you from this place. So, yeah, totally, Glenn. That just exactly reminded me of it.
I think Jennifer's mom, and we're not going to mention who, but Jennifer's mom wanted to torture her every summer while she was in high school, sending her to who she sent her to for working student position. And, Jamie, you know who that is. And you have to admit, that's torture right there.
Now?
Just saying. I didn't say who.
But we're gluttons for it when we're kids. You know, we can't get enough.
But you also say you learned a lot, right?
That's correct. Clean 100 stalls. Okay.
Okay, sure. I'm only 12. Why not?
But Jennifer, you learned a lot being there, doing that slave driving every summer. You learned a lot.
Absolutely, I did.
Yeah. She now knows how to clean a stall faster than anyone.
See, now, Jennifer, at your age that you're at now, which is not that old, how comfortable are you in the saddle, you know, galloping around and jumping? Not so much, because of all the injuries we suffered when we were younger.
Right. It's from picking up those freaking 75-pound muck-tubs was from. Do not
exactly.
Drag the muck-tub. Do not drag the muck-tub. Drag the dead muck-tub, people.
Yeah, no. Unbelievable. So yeah, we were tortured. We tortured ourselves, and I actually am going to have a bunch of students cleaning my stalls and pastures today. Thank you very much. Payback is a bitch.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, listen, as usual, everybody, please go check out Horse Nation. Leslie, my BFF.
Can I mention one more? Can I mention one more before she goes? Sorry, I got to mention one more.
Oh, sure.
The Galway Hunt helmet cam was very good too. I thought that was, if you want to see what a fox hunting's like overseas in the Irish fields, it's beautiful, by the way. But if you want to check that out, Jennifer, you're going to have to watch that one. If you're into fox hunting at all, you have to watch that one. It's fun to watch. So I just wanted to give a plug.
Did you catch the part of it where, like, some of the jumps make sense. There's stone walls, you know, there are ditches, whatever. They're typical Irish stuff. And then at one point, the helmet cam and the horse is heading towards sort of a break in the fence. And I'm like, what? You know, okay, whatever. Like, it just looks like a little pile of you know, sticks or something. And then you get closer, and it's actually this big spread of wooden, broken wooden pallets. Did you see that part?
Yeah, yeah. That was, they're crazy.
Well, and then there's the guy that fox hunts bareback, which, my God, that guy is crazy. So, talk about pain.
Oh, yeah. He went, this, that was another story we had up about a guy who was decided that he was going to do closing hunt in England with bareback for, and he was raising money for charity, and he ended up riding, I think, just the pre-fox hunt ride. I guess they go do a sort of a four-mile track over fences, and and so that happened, and then they actually started. No, that was, you know, 4 miles of galloping and leaping, you know, hunt field, brush, you know, wall, ditch type things, and then they actually went fox hunting for another couple hours or so, and that was another 8 miles, I think you said, and another several fences, and man, he was, I bet he was a battered dude the next day.
No kidding. I love the person that commented underneath it. I hope that he's all had all the kids he already planned on having.
Kidding.
So, yeah, but he was doing it for charity. So it's a good story. Everybody, you can go to horsenation.com. And, you know, if you're stuck in a cubicle and you're listening to us because your work is boring and you're trying to keep your brain busy for the day, go to horsenation.com when our show's over, and it'll keep you busy for the rest of the day. It's awesome.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thanks, you're welcome.
Leslie.
Thanks.
Hey, Leslie, I wanted to remind you that you're off next week. We have a recorded show next Monday because we're moving. So you have a week off.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. So we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, good luck moving.
All right. All right. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
That racking video, I just have it going here again. I was just laughing. It's just, I'm telling you why I find it so funny.
I'm on horsenation.com, and I just can't stop looking at the pictures of Jim Craig galloping down the hill and the review.
Oh, geez.
And for Turn to Snow River.
All right, now I'm going to get you on one more of this, then we're going to go. One more of the 10 oldest things. I got to ask you this one. What do you think the oldest equestrian sport is?
The oldest equestrian sport would be three-day eventing.
Nope.
Lame. I don't know.
Well, it's very popular on TV right now, jousting.
Oh, duh.
Yeah, jousting is their thing. One of the old, now they can go back to chariot racing and back into the old days, but they're talking about something that is still done. And jousting was what they listed as the oldest equestrian sport because they've been jousting since, you know, for 1,000 years. So that's it. That's all for today. We're going to wrap it up. Jennifer and I still have some packing to do. We will be here tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern live on the show. And then we'll tell you tomorrow about some of the fun, special shows that we had planned, including the Battle Royale between Alan and Jamie, which Jamie claims was this little fixed, and I told her it was not, that I am always loyal to her because she is my co-host in the morning.
B.S., you're loyal to a dude. Don't even tell me that. You just, because you have to put up with me every day. You should have been smarter about this whole thing. How, you know, whatever. I need women to get together, do some simple math, first of all, and then listen to the ridiculousness of Glenn and Alan and tell me I did not kick them butt. Okay? I'm not going to say anything else about it. Just
la 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 la. Bye, Jamie. See you, Peeling.
Spay, neuter, and yelp, people. And get acupuncture. So I'm going to go do it. I need another vet bill.